Hello, another Newsman web guy coming at you this week.
Yeah, this one was a fun one. Plenty of lighthearted topics.
As opposed to the other ones?
Yeah, a chore normally.
Lucky you've tuned into this one, because this is the good one that we've finally done.
How many? 50?
Something. This week, let's look at a new invention raising eyebrows. I won't explain exactly what it is, but it's a shocker of an invention.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fan with the men, not so much with the ladies.
And I've got some ideas of some other appalling inventions people have come up with over the years.
Whoa, I can't wait for these.
Finally going to talk about the royal wedding.
Yes, plenty of side stories to this big day.
I really only like the side stories, in particular Thomas Markle, father of the princess-to-be.
Mm.
He's really been at the centre of just a chaotic week this week.
And he's not even going to be there.
Not even going to be there. but he's been up to shenanigans with paparazzi. Anyway, I want to defend him. So let's look at him. Also, Newsman, this week, science has identified what it is that makes a man attractive.
Single man listening closely. This could be a big one for you.
Hopefully, for our sakes, it is a slim build, a little bit of facial hair, short, nondescript haircut.
Yes.
Millennials, Newsman, are ruining proposals with their new engagement ring smartphone case.
How so?
Well, first of all, it feels like if you follow the news, millennials are ruining a lot of things.
I think it's just anyone that gets to a certain age just criticizes anything that's new and that comes behind them.
Yeah. And millennials just cop it. Like, a lot of these things, I reckon there's more than just millennials getting on these bandwagons.
Oh, yeah.
But they cop the blame. Scapegoats, as you might say. The latest is this engagement ring smartphone. And I've got to admit, looking at it, shocking move.
Well, describe it for us.
So it's a smartphone case. You've got your phone in the case.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video I've seen, it's a man proposing to a woman. He gets down on one knee, opens up the case, the engagement ring comes up out of the case and is fixed to a little platform bit that sits in front of the smartphone's camera. So this guy is essentially creating a video now and most likely a live Facebook stream or something like that,
mm-hmm.
capturing real-time reaction of the woman with the ring in the front, in the, you know, foreground. Really just all designed to live stream or at least record that proposal moment.
I was going to say, so very, very good chance it would be live streamed, do you think?
Yeah.
See, this is great on many fronts, in my opinion, because who doesn't love to see a proposal go wrong? Especially live. That would be so awkward.
Yeah, the ones that go wrong, they're the ones that are going to go viral. No one really cares about strangers just, you know, happily proposing. It's when it goes awry.
Oh, see, I think it's great. Like, the amount of stories told about proposals, and it's all not documented. So it's just a memory for the two people. But this way, others can experience it, or at least it's documented for the couple.
That is a good point. I do like what you've raised there, but I just can't fathom how you could have a natural reaction. I guess you
Well, they don't know that the case is going to open with a ring in it, do they?
So you're banking on the person who's being proposed to not noticing that there's a live recording phone sitting behind the ring.
No, but they don't know that at that very instant.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I'm sorry to disagree with you on this one.
You could almost talk me around because that would be fun. That would be nice video to have to look back later. The problem I've got is I've seen the promotional video.
Yeah, it's a bit
cheesy.
And
in that one, it's like, you know, stock footage, you know, like two people who probably don't even know each other pretending that they're having a great moment.
Well, it's lovely for the couple though. What makes a lot of these video proposals special at the moment is there aren't that many of them. So if it comes up, it generally gets a few hits on the internet because people go, oh, that's sweet. We haven't really seen that special moment between these two people. Mm. But if everyone has got this flip phone Proposer Nader 5000, is that going to catch on?
Proposer Nader. Guaranteed yes every time you use it.
If you're seeing it every single week because all your friends are in their 20s, 30s, 40s that are proposing, you don't want to see 35 proposals online. No. But I like it. I like it.
Well, you've thrown me now because I thought that we could have a bit of a laugh about some of the worst inventions.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm probably on my own with that one. But yeah, I think that's a good segue.
I don't think it will go down in history as one of, you know, a milestone moment in mankind where the engagement of flip phones.
Is it ahead or below the selfie stick?
Well, at this stage, it has not had the longevity of the selfie stick.
Right.
But probably they have even flamed out by now.
I actually thought the selfie stick was a good idea that got smashed down because it became antisocial.
Yeah. It's almost been legitimized now, I think, though. Like, if you want to film something with a phone, you know, people still use them? Well, okay. Just to keep it steady, I guess.
Yeah, I reckon it could.
So this is not the right setup at all, but I wanted to have a laugh about the worst things people have ever invented. Did you know that someone actually did invent a giant Swiss Army knife, which was, I don't have the photo of it here. I have seen the photo of it. It's basically the size of a suitcase and has a shovel, a rake, a pickaxe, and a pickaxe and a trowel.
Yeah.
And interchangeable bits that click in and out. And it is genuinely the size of a suitcase. Created or invented with gardeners in mind. Anyone who ever tried to use it, this is going on the records I've found. A lot of complaints about back pain, many slipped discs. I guess it's a nice idea.
I love the idea because the amount of times I go into the shed, I can't find one or the other.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want back pain from my shovel being too clunky and heavy.
It's just way too bulky. It's so bulky. This was invented in Japan. The way they're selling is, hey, you thirsty but out of pocket? Well, I've got this invention for you, which is an upside down umbrella. So when you're in the rain, you're catching the rain that falls on you. And then there's, it's kind of like a tube down that funnels the water that you've caught in your umbrella. into a receptacle so you can drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun idea, but generally when it's raining, thirst isn't the first thing on your mind, I wouldn't have thought.
No. Of all places where that could work, South Australia probably is the place,
though. Yeah. Or, you know, in the future when water becomes even a more increasing commodity, perhaps... Mm. It'll be like rainwater tanks. Yeah. So you got a little backpack and you're just harvesting all the rain you can. People running outside when it's pouring down. See, I reckon that's a better idea.
Suddenly it doesn't sound silly. And you don't have to drink it. Like, take it and then put it on your garden or tip it into your water tank. Whatever.
But the government would probably tax you. Yeah. That's our water. Pesky, get out of it.
Pesky government. So one also could be from Japan. You might have seen it. Sort of a hard hat attached to the side of the train with a sort of suction cap so you can have a nap while you're on the train, fit your head inside the helmet or the hat, sort of keeps your head in position so you're not doing that lean forward and snap back thing. So, I mean, that's listed as one of the worst inventions. It's, in theory, it's good.
Yeah.
You've probably seen the photo of it before. I don't know if it's the look of it that put people off.
Yeah. No, that's not a great look. The other problem I have with it is you don't want to get too comfortable sleeping on the train. You'll miss your stop. So if your head is perfectly still, you will not wake up.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
But the amount of people you see doing that head wobble when they're on the train, they're so tired, there'd be a lot of people that would actually like it. But yeah, you don't want to admit to... I don't think anyone admits to nodding off on the train.
No, like actively boarding the train ready for... Okay, this is nap time now. Let's do it. Did you ever know this had been invented? A butter stick?
Butter stick?
A butter...
Right.
A butter stick? So you don't have to spread butter onto toast with the old pesky knife and a tub of butter.
Yeah.
It's actually in a like a glue, you know, it looks like a glue stick. Wind up thing. Yeah, yep. It looks like a glue stick, but it's got butter in it. You can just smear it straight onto your toast from there. I don't know why that didn't catch on.
Good for camping, I would have thought. But yeah,
you find the logic in everything. This, let me hit you with this one. I want to hear how you rationalize this one. You might have seen it. I've saw a photo of this floating around. Strap-on breasts, full to the brim, with milk dispensed through a nipple valve, so men can breastfeed babies.
Right. Yeah, I have actually seen that one before. Yeah. I don't see the demand for it.
Okay.
I don't see that there are enough guys wanting to do this that you could make it in mass production. That's all I'll say.
And that's why you've probably never seen one used in real life.
No.
There is no call for this.
No.
Maybe one day. Maybe as millennials mature, this will be something.
Have you ever bought any? Is that the list? There's a few more.
There's one last one.
Okay.
And I really don't know what they're going at here. It's a wig on a stick. So not really so much a wig to wear out and about. It's a wig that's attached to a stick that you position in just in front of the mirror. So when you look in the mirror, you still have a head of hair. I'm just going to show you a photo there.
Who would that be? So a bald man would stand in front of the mirror with the wig on the stick.
Just get maybe pump up the confidence while they're in front of the mirror.
Yeah, okay.
And then walk away with that image left in their mind of the head of hair. But in reality, that, you know, clearly still bald.
Now you've hit a high there. Any inventions that you've come across in your own experiences or seen on TV or anything like that?
Well, the other one was, I mean, the Snuggie was a much maligned invention. One of the ones that also made the worst ever list was Snuggie for dogs.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that's up there as well. What about you?
Well, one piece of junk mail that I enjoy going through but never really find anything that I think it's great, is the innovations catalogue. Have you ever seen that?
No, please tell me about it.
So basically, if you've bought something with your credit card, you're generally on this mailing list somehow. But basically, they seem to just bring together a couple of handy inventions together, which is just over the top, like a digital clock on a garden gnome or they just somehow mish.
A microwave on a
mix
hat?
And match. Yeah, pretty much. Put a digital clock. If iPods are the... were the toast of the town in this year, everything comes with iPod included things like that. Another one I've seen, I think, is a little step that you place your feet on in the smallest room of the house, which gives you your body a more natural shape for movements.
Ergonomic.
If I can.
All right. Yeah. What about the ab vibrator thing? You ever seen that?
The what?
The ab vibrator. It's like a strap you put around your belly. It puts electrical pulses into your stomach and makes you get abs.
Yeah, yeah. See, any,
it doesn't work.
Any of those late night TV things, it would be my dream job to try all of them. But I don't want to, like, I'm sensible enough that once the thrill of seeing these things happen, I never buy them. Ever bought something from late night TV, but I'd love to test them all. Oh,
that would
love
be a
it.
Good YouTube video. Every invention in 5 minutes, and it's just you in fast forward, just trying every single thing. Oh, that'd be gold. Time, newsman, to talk about the royal wedding.
It's coming up. It's very close.
We had to do it at some point.
Yeah, we've tried to sort of bypass it, but no, it's probably the biggest event of the year so far for the whole world to look upon something so special and wonderful.
Time for us to take a look at ourselves, I think.
Okay.
Reality check for us. We sort of have a bit of a yarn about what's going on in the world, you know, media sort of stuff, like what's happening online, blah, blah. Usually love to try and jump on anything we pick as, you know, blatant media manipulation.
Contrived, trying to,
scam, you know, like we love to try and work out, you know, this story's popped up. Why is that news? Who's put this into the news cycle? How'd that happen? The hidden agenda.
Surely the love between a prince and a movie star could not have any of these ingredients to this story.
Oh, But just you wait. The at the time, viral pictures of soon-to-be Princess Meghan Markle's father living somewhere in Mexico, swatting up on all things British, captured by paparazzi in a cafe, reading up on like British history. He was reading a British history picture book or something.
Mm-hmm.
Went viral. Or was shot around all around the world, this zipping everywhere, this photo of him sitting there at a cafe reading this book, you know, because you glance at it and think, oh, well, you know, his daughter's about to marry into a UK, into a British family. He just wants to educate himself a bit. Made all the more kind of hilarious because it's the royal family she's marrying into. Just something funny about the image.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why did they attack him? Like, your average... Schmo would probably want to brush up.
It wasn't an attack. I don't think. Okay. It was just a, you know, it was more sort of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing
the homework on the in-laws.
Yeah, but completely slipped by me that it was a complete fabrication. It was an absolute setup. We find out now that Thomas Markle was in on this. He wasn't just randomly snapped in the cafe, you know, unbeknownst to him. he knew that they've photographers were there. He was posing for them.
And why was he doing this? Why was he doing this?
Well, apparently this is a paparazzi technique. They'll get, you know, shocking pictures of someone who's, you know, got some tabloid value. And then they might go to them and say, look, we've got these photos of you that you look pretty bad in. But if you kind of help us get better ones, we'll use the better ones instead of the, you know, ugly ones.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe we'll throw you a couple of dollars as well, which I think is pretty much the deal Thomas Markle was on.
Yep.
So photos of him studying in the cafe, also getting measured up for a suit, working out, going on a power walk with dumbbells in his hands. All these, you know, if you look at them innocently, it just looks like a proud dad getting in. You know, getting himself up to speed for his daughter's upcoming wedding.
And guess what? If I saw that in a magazine, I would look at those pictures. I would flip through them and enjoy them and come to that very conclusion that they want us to, that, just an excited dad preparing for the wedding.
He's kind of been embarrassed about the whole thing, but I don't know. Is it even that wrong? Did he even really do anything wrong? Maybe taking money? This is, you know, he's sort of been painted to have embarrassed the royal family by being in with the paparazzi.
What were the other pictures, though?
They were the main ones. Working out, getting fitted for a suit and studying in a cafe.
Yeah, but what pictures were they saying, well, we've got
other... Oh, they had ugly ones of him going to some cheap hotel and I think maybe drinking booze.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, seems like if blackmail can ever be good, it's probably the best form, giving you an option.
He had to take that deal, didn't he? Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I just, when you think of all the things that are going wrong in the world at the moment, this guy's crime seems to be pretty minor.
I don't know how financial this guy is, but...
Do you know he's actually won Emmys?
Really?
He was like a lighting guy in stage sets in Hollywood, and he has won Emmys.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he lives in Mexico or something, so... Yeah. It's a bit of a funny family setup, but probably not that unusual to a lot of families. And this is a thing, weddings and the stresses that go along with weddings. I think like any family feels those, and this family is probably not that far out of the ordinary.
Mm.
But the scrutiny on them is, you know, just ridiculous. You know, beyond the realms of, you know, normal reality. A bit unfair on them, probably.
The part of royal weddings that especially grabs the everyday person is that an everyday person can marry into royalty. That's the magic of it, that you can become a princess out of nothing, really. Yeah. So there's always going to be the scrutiny of, while it's a dream for the everyday person, for the media it's a great way to go, well, look at the chasm between the class of royalty and these people.
Yeah. Do you ever hear the prince story, though? Is there ever like some guy just coming out of nowhere and marrying a famous princess? Does it happen in reverse? I'm not sure that is really a story we hear. Ever.
No. It's, I'm not a great royalist. I don't know. You know, Fergie is, her daughters, they're princesses, aren't they?
Well, you put me on the spot.
Well, let's say they are. Are they married? Oh, I don't know. But perhaps they're the they're the next ones that could pick up some slapper from the pub.
Fergie's not a princess, is she?
Oh, no, she's Duchess, isn't she?
I don't know.
But isn't it Princess Eugenie? Who knows?
Clearly we don't know. But Fergie married into it as well, didn't she? Like, she was not a princess. Like, she went from rags to riches.
Mm.
So, and then they divorced. So I guess she, you know, was out of the royal family then. She went from rags to riches, possibly back to rags. So her kids, I don't know that they have any royal status.
Yeah.
Maybe once you get it, you never lose it. I don't know.
But as you said,
Thomas Markle Sr.
Yes. If someone offered me $20,000 to post pictures, flattering pictures of me.
Yeah.
Why not?
But what if they were going to embarrass your in-laws?
Yes.
That's the catch.
But the royals are big and bad enough to look after themselves.
Yeah. And the royals would have rather these innocent photos of him studying in a cafe than him, like, boozing it up.
Mm. Absolutely.
That would have been more embarrassing to them, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. The royal wedding will be occurring shortly. Will you be watching it?
I don't plan to. I guess if it's on, you know, I'm not, you know, averse to having a look. Mm. Yeah, there is a level of interest just to see what it's like, but I think it'll be pretty short-lived for me. I just catch a glimpse. Okay, great. I don't need to go through the whole thing, I don't reckon. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a channel flicker with long events like this. It's the length that really gets to me. So I'll flick over, I'll see a horse and carriage a long way from the chapel, flick over.
Yep.
It's not happening soon. I probably want to see maybe the nuptials, but not the build-up. No interest there at all.
Story here today, Newsman, that you specifically asked for us to look at.
What is it, Web Guy?
You said you wanted to personally investigate this one.
Mm, okay.
I
did see the headline for this, but go on. Tell us the headline.
I've just set you up badly there. The headline is, "Science has found what makes a man attractive."
Tim, take a photo of me, put it on our Twitter, and we've solved the problem.
Yeah, that's it.
The end of this podcast.
The closer any man can look to the newsman, then the more handsome they will be considered.
Well, what has science found? Or what was your immediate thoughts before you read the story?
Well, I kind of think it has this, you know, we've still got probably this evolutionary hangover that we're probably not even aware of, that, you know, going back long, long, long time ago, there were certain factors that were conducive to producing the most viable offspring.
Mm.
And that we still, you know, under those influences even now. And I would have thought for women, it was probably, you know, any tip-offs to them, to their fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And for men, it would be tip-offs to, well, I guess, fertility goes both ways, doesn't it? So anything that would tip off a man's fertility, e.g. a flowing mane of hair, maybe, has often been thought of as, you know, that kind of caveman.
Yep. A sort of strong physique and maybe jawline that sort of suggests protective of the ladies.
The protective element is the other element. So, you know, size, strength.
Mm-hmm.
Power.
How are we going?
I think we're just lucky that we're not living in the caveman days.
Yes.
Where we stand some kind of a chance in the modern world.
Yes, thank goodness for that.
Are
we on the right track? Is this what science has revealed?
Science has revealed that all that is out the window.
Oh.
This story started off, you know, speculating, is it shiny shoes, clean cut clothes, well-groomed hair? So all those, you know, superficial, is it appearance factors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's not those either. It is kind of an evolutionary thing, but not what we expected. What makes a man attractive is the, wait for it, length of his legs.
Whoa.
Did you see that coming?
No, I did not. No, I did not. And
pretty weird.
Is that based on proportion to the rest of your body, or is it just that tall guys are more attractive because they've got the longest legs?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. I've got that info here. It's sort of a proportion thing. Mm. What does it say here? So elbows, knees, and even arms, irrelevant. But in this study, when it came to legs, and they would show heterosexual females images of men with their arms, you know, at different sizes.
Yeah.
If they looked close to half the male's height, then that was the sweet spot, apparently. So if your legs account for half your height, apparently that's a good zone to be in.
And a question without notice. So, do we know why this is an attractive feature?
Well, it's they do talk about an evolutionary influence that people with type 2 diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure may have shorter legs. But then they've said, for example, so that might be wild speculation on the part of this report.
Yeah.
The lead researcher said leg-body ratios that are slightly above the mean associated with good nutrition, developmental stability, and biomechanical efficiency. I guess that means you can run and walk well. So, you know, there is some, you know, evolutionary factors there. Interesting about what you're saying about the really gangly guys. If their legs are a bit more, if their legs appear to be more than half their height or less than half their height, that's not good.
Oh, so you've got to have that sweet spot, as you said.
In the studies, they said women lost interest at that point,
mm-hmm.
that halfway mark. So it doesn't matter how overall tall you are.
Mm. So,
lots to digest there.
So if we had a message to all the single guys out there listening to this podcast, forget about the fancy haircut. Forget about the shiny shoes. Forget about all the brand clothing.
Mm.
Just measure yourself and pull your pants up accordingly to the right level. How's that for a...
Well, that's a genius idea, because as you were going through those things, I was thinking, well, they are all things you can actually control.
Yes.
The ratio of your legs to your height, you cannot control. Mm. But maybe a design of pants that create an illusion as to how long your legs actually are, like that, you know, if your legs are a bit short, pants that maybe go further up your torso... Or if your legs are too long, pants that end, you know, below your waist somehow, and then incorporate the beginning of the shirt, or you know,
and go on.
Some kind of arrangement where your clothing can distort the reality.
Yeah,
of how
and you
long
know how women, or I've heard that some women, the clothing is designed to point towards the cleavage.
Okay.
Or at least
yes,
there's some sort of
yeah.
Well, maybe there could be some sort of design of the pants or the shirt above that sort of are going, hey, look where the legs finish.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All kinds of female clothing does that, like high heels to make the leg look mm-hmm. longer, or patterns on clothes to make the body look a different shape. You know, they are deploying all kinds of optical illusions.
Devious. Maybe,
well, that's your
I word. Mean.
I can't think of a male example. This is time for us to do it.
Yes.
This could be a $1 billion idea that you've just hatched.
And, of course, it could open up a whole new sort of dating genre. Like mm-hmm. you've got your cougar life, I don't know what they're called, something that people like cougars,
yes.
something that like elite people. It could be like longleggedlovers.com or something. It's just a...
Oh,
we've really... This is really opened the game for guys, I think.
Yeah,
I like it. At first, I thought it was a disadvantage because, you know, how can you... As you said, it's nature. How can you...
Yeah, you can't do anything about that.
But...
You got to hack the system. So guys wearing really short, tight T-shirts showing off what their biceps, which they believe to be a great asset of theirs, when they're, you know, trying to attract the opposite sex. They're up the garden path. They got it all wrong. Women don't care about that. It's the legs, that's where it's at.